This week, voters in Alabama decide whether to raise taxes on themselves. The state is holding a referendum at the request of Republican Governor Bob Riley, who says he wants to close a budget deficit, give the state more flexibility in how it spends, and Riley says raise spending for schools. The plan would also lower income taxes for some Alabama residents. The proposal would increase many people's income taxes, service fees, cigarette taxes, and property taxes. It's run into stiff opposition. We're going to hear two perspectives from Alabama, and we will start with Paul Till, a spokesman for the Alabama Farmers Federation. That's an influential organization of landowners which has campaigned against the proposal. Mr. Till, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So the governor says he wants to close a budget gap, which many states have a budget gap right now. He also wants to improve the schools. Why not raise taxes?
Well, one of the biggest problems that we have with his proposal is he talks about closing the budget gap, and that's assuming that there really is a budget gap. But even according to his numbers, he's asking for twice as much money as the budget gap. He says there's a budget gap of $670 million, but he wants $1.2 billion.
Isn't that sort of the governor's point, though? He's saying that while we close this budget gap, I also want to have some additional money to improve the schools and do some other things.
That may be his point, but I don't think the people of Alabama agree with that point. There definitely needs to be improvement in the education system in Alabama. I do believe that. But where we have a disagreement is, will money solve the problem, and how much money is needed to solve the problem? See, there's no guarantee that this money will go to the classroom. If there could be some kind of guarantee and assurance, and if the public had the confidence that the money would wind up in the classrooms, then I think you might have a different outcome next Tuesday.
Now, Mr. Till, we mentioned that you represent the Alabama Farmers Federation.
That's correct.
Can you describe who you represent and how they would be affected by this tax increase?
We're the largest farm organization in Alabama, but we also represent the largest number of homeowners in the state. But I think my point is this, that this does not just affect our farmers, but it's also a property tax that's going to face every homeowner in the state, a rather dramatic increase in property taxes across the board. But truthfully, it's the many, many other taxes coupled with increases in property tax that causes the problem. The tax on services is a big problem for many Alabamians because for the first time you'll be paying a sales tax on labor when you get your automobile fixed or when you get your appliances fixed. Currently under Alabama law, when they fix that appliance and they put a part on that appliance, you'll pay sales tax on that $50 part. But if it costs you $150 worth of labor to use that $50 part, you do not pay any kind of sales tax on the labor.
Now you will.
Now you will.
If this passes.
If this passes.
Mr. Till, final question, if I may. Let's say that you win on Tuesday, as polls suggest that your side very well might. Alabama will still have what the governor anyway says is a very large budget gap. What do you do then?
I think what you do then is that you have a real accounting of the funds. We think there are still some cuts, some adjustments that can be made with the additional revenue, which is already coming into the state. With that additional revenue and with some belt tightening, this budget could be balanced.
Paul Till is a spokesman for the Alabama Farmers Federation. Mr. Till, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
And we're going to hear next from Sid McAnally. He's the managing director of the Alabama Partnership for Progress, which is an organization of different groups that are supporting the governor's tax plan in Alabama. Mr. McAnally, hi.
Hello.
So the polls that we see suggest that the governor's tax proposal is losing, at least at the moment. Why is this such a hard sell?
Well, it's a difficult sell in Alabama because the state has a history of distrusting government, and there is an enormous amount of information from people who oppose the plan for economic reasons that causes questions from the public.
Oppose the plan for economic reasons?
Well, Alabama has the lowest property taxes in the United States. And even at full implementation of the proposal, Alabama would still have the lowest property taxes in the United States. But that's not enough to satisfy many of the large landowners in the state who have funded the opposition campaign.
Large landowners, we just spoke to an organization of landowners. That's not the only opposition here, though.
No, there is additional opposition. There are some people who believe that raising taxes under any circumstance is unacceptable. But this has been a useful conversation. We have not seen this kind of public policy debate in the state in my lifetime and in the history, the last century of the state. Very few times has there been this kind of conversation around what people in Alabama want their government to be.
But if I was an Alabama taxpayer and being of a naturally skeptical mind, I would sort of wonder about the different moving parts in this plan. The governor is asking for considerably greater freedom in deciding where the money goes. Right now, for example, in Alabama, I know there's a requirement that if you raise the property tax, you also have to raise the salaries of teachers with that money. That wouldn't be the rule anymore.
Well, I think what you're making reference to is earmarking.
Yeah.
In Alabama, over 90 cents, around 90 cents of every dollar is earmarked, meaning that government does not have the flexibility to meet needs as they arise, but instead tax dollars are put into a pipeline that dumps out in one specific place. The governor ran on a platform of non-earmarking money. It's bad public policy. Most states earmark less than 20 cents on every dollar.
These are basically laws that have been passed over time that say we don't trust you in the state house or the legislature to spend our money wisely, and so we're going to tell you exactly how you must spend it no matter what.
That's right. That's why, for example, this year twice Alabama has cut funding to foster care, because the tax money is earmarked to go to places that don't meet those essential needs. The essential services that will be cut if the governor is faced with a decision of cutting $675 million from the current budget are not those services that are discretionary. It is going to be cut bone, not cut of fat, as many of the opponents argue, and we have invited them to show us where they would cut $675 million, but they've yet to take us up on that challenge.
Sid McAnally is managing director of the Alabama Partnership for Progress. Mr. McAnally, thanks very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.